Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell. Mark Mother's Bathroom Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from County Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season 4. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
The Star Wars universe is constantly expanding.
But how the heck are you going to keep tabs on it without a holocron? And where in the rim can I score the juiciest news and rumors?
Ah, you seek State of the Empire, Consequence of Sound's Star Wars speculation podcast, where we look for news in Alderaan places.
We dig into the Sarlacc pit of the internet for the hottest intel in the galaxy far, far away. Make Indiana Jones inquiries and keep watch for the latest on Willow.
Find us on consequenceofsound.net or wherever you procure fine podcasts. It's the show you're looking for. Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Wherever you're listening from today, please do hit the subscribe button before we get started. Keep up with all of the interviews that we put out every single week, whether you're listening on Spotify, on YouTube, iTunes, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Matthew Hoke of Phosphorescent. He's back with a brand new record called C'est La Vie. We're going to talk about how sense of place plays into it. Nashville, New England, Australia. We'll also get into facing mortality after dealing with a serious illness and facing that mortality even further when he became a father. We'll also find something relevant to the season with a song of his called Christmas Down Under and a recent cover he did of a Radiohead song. It's Kyle Meredith with Phosphorescent.
Hello.
C'est la vie, beautiful record. Before we get into that, though, I'll bring up, I saw the other day that you were on stage, and of course, everybody kind of gravitated that you pulled out a Radiohead cover. You played House of Cards, and I was just wondering if that was reason.
Not a sexy story there either, really. Just that I'm not very good at planning these things out. Like, I didn't know that was going to be really released, actually, but we were flying from L.A. to New York, or I was, to do a radio session, and then we were going to play a show later in the week, and that's just what I was listening to on the airplane, you know? And when I got there, they asked if I could play a cover song, and I said, yeah, sure. So that was I've been listening to that record on the headphones, and I love that song, and, you know, I just thought, well, I'll do that one.
Just interesting how just those little moments, you know?
No, seriously, it's like it's weird when things get sometimes, you know, they get some traction or whatever, and like, or they just, you know, I guess are, I mean, like, you know, I'm very considered about putting out a record, for example, you know, like I'm thinking of every possible thing when I make these records, but things like that, it's like, yeah, it truly was the song that I was listening to on the airplane 20 minutes before you know, they asked if I could play a cover. So
that's one of my favorite Radiohead songs, which is why I wanted to ask.
Me,
I
mean, too, just, man. Me too. Yeah. It's such a good song.
Beautiful. And at the time, I mean, when it first came out, it was like, wait a second, did Tom York just write like a kind of a sexy song? Is this sexy? I think it is.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, that whole record kind of feels that way to me.
Yeah,
in a way that none of their others do.
Well, on to C'est La Vie, then. You know, the one that you did actually labor over and think about a lot. The first thing I noticed when you know, and part of it was, you know, the stories behind it and the press, but also when I listened to it, there seems like there was a strong sense of place, maybe more so than other times. I mean, because you hit on Nashville, obviously we got New England, you know, in the first single, and Australia in Christmas Down Under, and there's even a song called There From Here. And I don't, is that coincidental or you know, was that sort of part because of what was around you?
Yeah, you know, it's actually an interesting question because I don't fully know the answer, but I think it does tie into the idea of this one being more this record allowing the actualities of my life to be directly in the songs, you know, which I think I was always a little bit more, I don't know, like obtuse about it before, or you know, would purposefully kind of obscure things, I think, whereas this one, I think, was open to the idea of allowing my real life to be there. Is that you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that also would include, you know, yeah, where my place at that time, you know, physical place. It also got in there as well. Yeah.
And I know part of that story that, you know, that you've been talking about a little bit, of course, you're a family man now, you're a parent. I thought, you know, I'm a parent too. And I thought, you know, kids will put the fear of failure in you. For a lot of people, and when I heard New Birth in New England, I mean, this is one of your catchiest songs. I thought, I wonder if that's the fear of failure right there. Like, I need a hit because it's seriously catchy, you know.
No, it definitely wasn't that. I mean, it's that kind of stuff never happens like that in a specific way. Like, it's like that song just happened. I mean, like, I was kind of goofing around with my daughter actually, and came up with that riff, and then was like, oh, well, this is, yeah, it definitely wasn't. I mean, I don't actually have much to say about this. Actually, I think I know what you mean. That it is for sure like a different kind of song. So much so that I had a real disagreement with the label about having that be the first single, because I do think it's such an outlier, you know, in the Phosphorescent catalog, you know. But I love the song, and it turns out I think they were right, because I guess people are, you know, they like it, you know. I mean, like, I like it too, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it represents the record really to be directed about it. I think it's like it's kind of like a red herring or something like that, you know what I mean. This stuff is all really tricky, because for me, like, you know, I can only see it in the way that I see it, which is like, I've been doing this my whole life, you know, like this is my life, and I see this body of work as like an expansion. But I think I'm probably the only person, you know, in the world that knows every song the way, you know, I mean, like, it's not, it's, and you know, so this is like, yeah, it's kind of a new thing to realize that making this record was like, it was the first time that I knew that people were going to hear it. Like, there was an expectation and a built-in, you know, at this point there are people who are going to get the record regardless of what I make, right? And they're going to hear it, and they're going to have some feelings about it, and like that was kind of new, you know, for me.
I mean, it's okay. You're a hit maker now. You got New Birth. You had Song for Zula. You're a hit man.
Yeah. Stick around. Let's see where we go from here. Yeah.
The really, you know, I think crappy side from what I gather about, you know, going into this record is that you did get sick, and the you know, you had to deal with sort of existence, as I read. I haven't had the experience of contemplating life and death to any satisfactory answer, and being faced with it in the way you were. I'd wondered, is there a resolution inside yourself now that you've come to terms or peace?
No, absolutely not.
Fuck.
Exactly. No, that's, and to put it, I don't want to like beleaguer this point, but I mean, like, that's the thing about this record that I think the first song, you know, like maybe sugarcoats it or something. I feel like this record is maybe one of the roughest ones I've made in terms of, like, I felt that I was in a heavy place when I was writing most of these songs. They felt like I was worried about some of them, that I thought it was a little too rough, like about this stuff, about, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, look, we're all going to die, you know, like my kids are going to die, I'm going to die, you're going to die. And like, it's the saddest fucking thing in the world. And to me, every time I sat down to write a song, that was just standing there. Like, it was looming in this huge way that, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe I didn't capture, I guess, the gravity of it, or maybe I did. I don't know. But I mean, that is what I was thinking about. Basically, every time I sat down to try to write a song, it was, you know, this looming thing. It's a fucking sad deal.
It reminded me of, there was a Kerouac quote somewhere along the line before he knew he had a daughter. And I think someone was just asking him if he ever wanted to have kids. And he said, why would I bring someone into this world only for them to die later? Like, that's, you know, that's, of course he did. He didn't know he had a daughter. And then, you know, she came along.
Wait, he didn't know at that time.
He didn't know it. You know, it was one of those, pun intended, probably one of those on the road babies. So, you know, it's
right.
You know, in there. But yeah, anyway.
But yeah, no, it really is that. I mean, it really, you know, like when, I mean, you said you're, how many kids do you have?
I have one.
No, but I mean, I mean, I guess in some way I've always, you know, been super sad about the idea of my own death. And, you know, I mean, like, it's all awful stuff. But the idea that these beautiful little things, you know, like the moment you see them and then like come to love them, you know, that it's like, yeah, I mean, it's really rough stuff to realize that they're, you know, it's like, it's crazy that all of us humans run around doing this thing, you know, and like we all know this, it's all happening. And it's just the craziest thing.
I mean, that ignorance is bliss line so comes into play right there, because I think of, you know, just, I don't know if animals are aware of it or not. And I like to believe that they're not, and they can just go around, you know, just
me too,
ignorant,
yeah,
and happy about the whole thing.
Not. I think that's true. I really do think that's true. And I think that's like I feel like, I think monkeys probably are aware of it somehow, you know, like
right.
Apes it's just the saddest thing.
Well, turning, I wouldn't say to happier pastures, but to different pastures anyway. In the title track, you kind of brought that up a little bit. As I heard it, at least as I interpret it, it's a look at who you were and not being that person anymore. But I thought it's worth noting that you're not exactly saying who you are. It's just that you're not that guy anymore.
Right. That is, yeah, right. I actually, in a weird way, that song, I'm only like halfway putting my tongue in my cheek, I think, by saying, you know, I don't know what it means, the line, and also the larger picture. But I do think it is that feeling of and I think it kind of, that's why the record's called what it is, you know. There's a specific sort of feeling of, I don't know, uncertainty, I guess, you know, like, I definitely don't know what's on the other side, I guess, is kind of where that ends up.
That it continues a little bit in there from here, which might be my favorite from the record. It's probably, I keep coming back to it. But, you know, there's those lyrics
nice.
I found interesting where, you know, Rumi said it best, you got to let it rest. And further along, I believe it was around the horn where you said everything is fine. And, you know, along with that title phrase, you know, c'est la vie, you know, even with the heaviness, even with the darkness of the themes that you're kind of hitting on, I do get the strong sense of, you know, hey, man, chill out. Just what can you do?
Well, look, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. What else can you do? You know what I mean? You can, it seems to me like futile to sort of be continually in some sort of state of angst, you know, about, so yeah, well, I mean, what can you do? You have a choice. Yeah. And I think it's in the idea that perception and attitude about how you want to take this all in, it's up to you. You know, it's really, yeah. What can you do?
Well, I'll bring up, since it is the season, I should probably just mention it. at least Christmas Down Under. I'm sure there is a bigger story to this, but I thought just the basic idea of that from here, from this sense of place in the world, from Louisville, Kentucky, or any, it's a flipped environment than what most of us are used to. Like, the whole thing is turned upside down, you know, Christmas Down Under, Christmas in Australia, it's summer down there, you know, and I thought, fish out
of
water.
That's right. I mean, you're nailing it exactly. That's the whole thing on that one. Like, and weirdly, it's not that. It's not. Well, at least the first verse, you know, was pretty much written directly. Well, the first and second verse I wrote as they happened. Like, it was. I was in Australia. I decided to take a break from my wife and daughter and let them, you know, visit, because she's Australian. So I just was letting them kind of hang out with their, you know, their family, her parents, and they, you know, my kids' grandparents. And I went to the beach by myself, and I learned to scuba dive. I had been scuba diving all day, and yeah, you know, it's really everything felt very, very, very dislocated, you know. And I was at that point, I guess been away from my daughter for longer than I ever had at that point. She was still a year old. I was missing her like crazy, and a storm came in. It was like a super summery, you know, sort of tropical thing, and I just was sitting in the hotel, and wrote those. And yeah, you know, you can't, even though it's summertime, it was still Christmas time. And I think for whatever reason, I've always had a pretty serious sadness that comes around with, I don't know why, you know. Yeah. But the whole, you know, the Christmas is like I don't know, it's a weird thing, like all the, you know, crass commercialism and the sort of horrors that Christianity and religion has done in this world. Mm-hmm. And also the beauty of it, you know, the idea of what religion, I think, every religion, like the kernel of it is such a beautiful thing. Like, they're all trying to do something beautiful, and yet somehow just fuck it up every one of them, you know. Like, right. It's like, I mean, why are people killing each other over this stuff, and they've done it for fucking centuries and eons, you know? Like, what a horror show this is. And yeah, you know.
You think we'd learn, and it's you know, hard, right? To be hopeful, because we have been doing it for thousands of years. You know, now we're faced with an environmental catastrophe, you know, that's sitting on our doorstep. Yeah. And you think, man, if we can't figure that out.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, it's it's rough stuff, right? It's rough stuff out there.
We are complicated people with lots of layers. Yeah. And
or not at all. Or just
simple,
basic animals. Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah.
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 Throwing rocks at our own head. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Thanks for making me feel better about, you know, existence.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean it though, man. I love the record, and it does give me senses of hope. And, you know, music does that. And that's always, you know, why we turn to it. We're obsessed monkeys ourselves, you know, with.
Yeah.
With
yeah. Sounds. Yeah.
And I appreciate what you do. I really do.
Well, thanks, man. I really thank you.
Matthew, it's been a lot of fun, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thanks. Yeah, thank you for that. You'll be around at the Louisville show?
I will. I will definitely be around. Yeah, I'm not going to miss
that.
Cool,
man. Yeah, so. Come say hi.
Will do.
Awesome, man. Thanks for the conversation.
Yeah, all right. Take care.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
My thanks to Matthew from Phosphorescent for the call. The new record is called C'est la vie. If you haven't already, please do hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to. Again, whether you're checking us out on YouTube, on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts from. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern, where you can also find some bonus episodes of this series. You can also find me on Twitter at Kyle Meredith, Facebook/Kyle Meredith. I am Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.